light often, especially for young people, tends to help them feel comfort. And some are scared of the dark. As soon as the light comes on, they feel... What do you think of when you think of light? Some people think of God. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1. None. God is light. People throughout time have associated goodness with light, purity with life, light, holiness with light, right living, knowledge with light. Light gets rid of darkness. When you look at God's Word, you see that God's people throughout time have been called to walk in light, to walk in righteousness, to walk in holiness, to walk in goodness. This morning, the Holy Spirit in the book of Ephesians admonishes God's people to walk as children of light. And in our text, God, the Holy Spirit, chose to describe what walking as children of light means in two different ways. And so this morning our text is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. The first part of that text tells us that walking as children of light means that we're to bear the fruit of light. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to begin with verse 8 and read through verse 10. The Apostle Paul, inspired by the Spirit, says, "For you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." So notice he says right there at the beginning, you're to bear the fruits of light. Because before they were converted, what were they? They were children of darkness. He kind of refers to this back in Ephesians chapter 2, the first few verses. Children of disobedience. Darkness. They walked in sin. They walked in spiritual ignorance. They walked in religious error. But that's how they used to be. They used to walk in darkness. Now they walk in light. Notice how Paul described this to the church at Corinth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, if you have your Bibles, read that verse with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." God commanded light to shine out of darkness. It shone in our hearts. What did it do? It gave us light. Christians, when you produce the fruit of light, the fruit of the Spirit, you're to be seen as living a different life. In Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, he made this real clear. Philippians chapter 2. See if this describes who you are. Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 14, Paul writes, "The Holy Spirit informs us, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." Do you shine as lights in the world? Wherever you go, do you take light? Are you, as the people here in Philippi, the Christians in Philippi, do you hold up the word of life? That's what he says you do. Children of life, light, hold up the word of life. They don't walk in darkness anymore, or sin anymore, or religious error anymore, because that's how they used to be. They're not like that anymore. People should see changes in us. People should see us as people who are holding up the light. The light of righteousness, the light of goodness, the light of purity, the light of holiness. See, we're called upon, it is our responsibility to walk as children of light. He says in verse 9, he uses that term for the fruit of the Spirit or the fruit of the light. They're the same. Why? Because one who lives in the light does what? Produces the fruit of the Spirit. How do I know that? What does the Bible say the Spirit has? He has a sword, doesn't he? And what is the sword of the Spirit? Again, the Bible tells us clearly, it is the Word of God. So, when we talk about the sword, we're talking about God's Word. Well, what does God's Word do? Psalms 119, 105 says, your Word is a lamp to my feet. It shows me where to walk. Because if you walk in darkness, you don't know if you're going to stumble over something, fall in a pit, whatever. It's a light to my path. That's the second part of verse 105. It's a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. God's Word does that. In that sense, we hold it up as a light. It directs us. It shows me there's the path to take. Don't take that path. Don't take that path. Take this path. See, that's what God's people are to do. In that same chapter, verse 130 says, the entrance of your words gives light. That's how I know what light is. That's how I know what path to take. Because God's Word shows me. It shows me. That goes back to why it's so vital for us to know what God's Word says. If we know little of God's Word, that's like having a kerosene lamp that practically has no kerosene in it. Or having a flashlight where the battery is practically dead. It's of little use if we don't know it. But knowing it, we can hold it up, and not only can we know the path we need to take, we can show other people the path. See, we can direct our lamp, we can direct our light. This is the way to heaven. This is the way to salvation. This is the way to God. So when we walk as children of light, that's what we're doing. We're producing these fruit that he talks about. We produce, he says, goodness. We produce things that are good. We produce righteousness. We produce what right living is in God's sight. He says that's what we produce. And we produce truth. We live a life of truth. Well, how can I live a life of truth? Well, I live a life that's in accordance with the truth. That's what living a life of truth is. I live according to the truth. So children of light are walking in light. They're walking a life of right living. Right living. They're walking a life of goodness. They seek what's good. They hold up what's good. They show what's good. And they live a life of truth. That's what Paul means in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. A few pages back in your Bible, you'll notice this verse. Galatians 5:25. Because Paul writes there, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. A lot of people have the mistaken idea that living in the Spirit has something to do with speaking in tongues and doing miraculous things. That's not it at all. Living in the Spirit means we walk in the Spirit. How can I know if I'm walking in the Spirit? If I walk in accordance to what the Spirit has told me. Well, how does the Spirit tell me? Only one way the Spirit tells me anything, and that's through His Word. Not in visions or dreams or revelations, though those are all past and have been for a long time. He reveals it to me in His Word. It is His Word. So I can't say I'm living in the Spirit unless I'm walking according to what the Spirit has said. Children of light. He says in verse 10, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. We demonstrate to the world what kind of life pleases God. See, if we're walking as children of light, we're walking in accordance to His Word, we're walking a life of righteousness and truth and goodness. So we're showing to the world that's the kind of life that God approves of. That's what He's talking about in Romans chapter 12. Let's notice the first couple of verses of that chapter. These are very familiar to you. But notice how they go along with our text. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and following says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, here's the part that goes along with walking as children in light, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So children of the world should be able to look at children of light and see that's what God approves of. That's what walking to please God looks like. But what if they see us walking exactly like they walk? What will they think? That how they're living is acceptable to God. And it's not. So that's why it's so important for us to walk in a way that pleases God. Walk as children of light. We're to approve the things that are excellent. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Approve the things that are excellent. See, we live in such a way, we should, because walking means this is how we continually live. Not just haphazardly on occasion, but this is our behavior. This is our normal lifestyle. This is our habitual life. Walking as children of light. This is what pleases God. Paul on more than one occasion said that that's what he tried to do. Make sure he walked, lived, acted, so that he would be pleasing to God. So when we approve things that are good and excellent and right, we're showing to the world, these are the things that God accepts. This is what He approves of. This is pleasing to God. So no wonder the Christian is admonished over and over again to examine themselves. Are you walking as children of light? Are you walking in the light? With your family, at home, at work, in the community, does it make any difference where? We're to be walking as children of light, producing the fruit of light. That's the first picture that Paul paints here of what it means to be children of light. Now, in the next few verses, he tells us the other side of walking as children of light. Verses 11 through 14. He says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it's shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. He says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Unfruitful produces only evil. Works of darkness, things that contaminate the soul, things that we've talked about, sin, religious error, spiritual ignorance, those things contaminate the soul. He says, have no fellowship. That means none. That means not even a little bit of fellowship. Fellowship has the idea of participating in, sharing in. So we have to be extremely cautious that we don't participate in or share in unfruitful works of darkness. Not to be connected with. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul told Timothy something very similar. Remember, Timothy was what we would call a located preacher at the time. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22, he tells Timothy, "Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure." Don't. What happens when you mix pure water, clean water, with dirty water? Now it's all dirty. Right? It's all dirty. There's no clean water in it anymore. Well, that's why over and over and over again, during the law of Moses, during now the law of Christ, we're told, "Come out from among them and be separate," says the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 17 and 18. He says we're to put away the things of darkness. Have no fellowship with them. Do not participate in them. Don't share in them. In no ways be connected with unfruitful works of darkness. Don't even show approval of evil. Don't even show in any way that you're approving of things that are evil. In 2 John, that very short letter, beginning in verse 9, John writes, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds, has fellowship in, participates with." So don't even greet him in the sense of welcoming him. Don't welcome him. So anything that is filled with sin, that is sinful, that is religious, that is in error religiously, we're not to participate in or have fellowship in any way. It's a very serious charge. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Sin, spiritual ignorance, religious error. Don't participate with them. Cannot fellowship them. Instead, he says, do what? Instead of approving of them, expose them, reprove them, rebuke them. That's what we're supposed to do. Many people don't believe in doing that today, but the Bible commands us. It's not an option. The Bible commands us to reprove them, rebuke them, expose them. It's our responsibility. Why? Because they're works of darkness. They're not works of light. Sin and error can't be ignored. I don't know where this quote comes from, but listen to it carefully. "Those who belong to the realm of light cannot be neutral with respect to the work of darkness. Sin must be exposed. One is not being nice to a wicked man by endeavoring to make him feel what a fine fellow he is. The cancerous tumor must be removed, not humored. It is not really an act of love to smooth things over as if the terrible evil committed by those still living in the realm of darkness is not so bad after all." Yes, it is bad after all. He says that some works of darkness are even more shameful. Are even more shameful. In Romans chapter 13, when Paul wrote to the church at Rome, notice what he says in verse 13. Romans 13:13, Paul writes, "Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy." Next verse says, "But rather put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh." No provision for its lusts. He says, it makes no difference if those things are done in secret because God knows. He has an all-seeing eye. He is able to see everything. So, as far as God's concerned, there's nothing done in secret because He knows everything. He's able to see everything. He's able to see into the darkest corners and recesses of our mind. If that didn't scare you, should it? The darkest corners of our mind. He's able to see everything. He's able to see our motives, our thoughts, everything. And He says, the light exposes darkness. See, God's Word reveals things as they really are. As they really are. In Hebrews chapter 4, the writer there talks about God's Word. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Yeah, we're going to give account. And that's true of any type of sin and religious error, regardless of what they are. That's what light does. It exposes darkness. I'm sure everybody in here knows John 3:16. But do you know what John 3:19 says? Because that's what we're going to read. John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. That goes back to approving the things that are excellent, displaying what is good. He ends up by saying, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Here, the man that's involved in sin and in darkness is depicted as like a man sleeping while driving a car. He's unaware of the danger. Why? Because he's asleep. The spiritually asleep, the spiritually dead, don't realize the collision course they're on. So he says, awake, you who sleep. Remember when Jesus was in the garden with His apostles toward the end of His life, right before He was arrested? Peter, James, and John go with Him further, and then He leaves them, and He walks a little further to pray, and He comes back, and what did they do? They'd fallen asleep. They'd fallen asleep. And He says, the flesh, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Awake, He says. Open your eyes. Wake up. Of course, that's true of the alien sinner, the one who's outside Christ, the one who's never been immersed for the forgiveness of sin. But that's also true for the one in Christ who has done what? Gone down that path of sin and turned away from God. They're also like that one who's asleep in the car, unaware of their danger. They're spiritually dead, they're in darkness, and they need to wake up. And He says, awake, and Christ will give you light. Christ will shine upon you. The Lord will. What an incredible passage in Ephesians 5. It's a wake-up call for all of us. Are we walking in light? Are we walking so that we show to the world what goodness is, what righteousness is, what holiness is, what purity is? Do we show to the world, this is what God approves of. This is what God desires. This is pleasing to the Lord. That's what we're to be doing as children of light. And if you're not, and you need to ask for prayers, you need to ask for forgiveness, we certainly want to encourage you to do that as we stand and sing this song.